Neighborhood Voice explores community issues through the lens of local residents. We've spent time talking with entrepreneurs about their experiences running small businesses and how they've adapted during the pandemic. Now we're getting local perspectives on COVID-19, the vaccine, and barriers to accessing it. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week I'm joined by Jody Bella from Meals on Wheels of Northwest Indiana. Thank you, Jody.
My pleasure.
So Meals on Wheels, it's a national organization, and you help senior and homebound neighbors by providing a meal to them. And just tell me more about your organization and its work in Northwest Indiana.
Sure, absolutely. We have been here in Northwest Indiana since 1977, started as a function of the VNA. We currently serve Lake, Porter, Newton, and Jasper counties. And we have a commercial kitchen in Merrillville where we prepare all of our food on a daily basis. We've grown from just doing meals for older adults into we serve ages 3 and up for a variety of reasons. And our focus is more on nutrition. And we also help individuals manage their chronic diseases with nutrition. Food is medicine, medically tailored meals, and those kind of things. So we do a lot for a lot of individuals who health might be compromised in some sort of a way. So,
and you do tailor your meals based on health needs as well. It's not that everyone gets the same meal, right?
Correct. Yeah, we basically have 4 main diet types. And from those 4 main diet types, we do over 22 different kinds of modifications. We accommodate food allergies. We accommodate individuals on specific diets, a renal diet. All of our meals are heart healthy and low sodium, and they're portioned correctly based on an 18-calorie diet. And then from there, based on what that individual needs, we will tailor that meal down. So we actually do more individualized meals than, you know, the creation of just a general meal for people.
And you mentioned that you do multiple counties across Northwest Indiana. How many meals does that equate to a day?
We are currently doing between 1,800 to 2,000 meals a day.
Wow. And that's all volunteer delivered, right?
Mostly all volunteer. Yeah. We have some of our more urban areas that are pretty heavily dense areas in terms of deliveries. So where a volunteer might deliver 10 to 15 meals, some of our paid drivers are delivering 26 to 30 meals. So,
wow. And so when COVID hit last year, it's been a year.
Right.
not an anniversary, I think any of us were looking to celebrate. But I think a lot of organizations had including the organization I work for, the luxury to kind of step back, work from home, re-strategize. But I would imagine with the clients that you serve, you didn't have much time to do that.
No. If anything, we, as this was first starting, we were able to institute new protocols immediately, knowing that those individuals that we serve and knowing how the demographic of older adults was one of the most impacted by the virus, we kind of knew that we were going to need to step up our game. And so we instituted some new protocols immediately, came up with plans of what to do if any of our administration staff or any of our kitchen staff was diagnosed with the virus so that we could still continue to produce food, deliver it, without impacting our clients. We have been nonstop. We have never closed. In fact, we've only increased since the beginning of COVID. We consistently run about 36% higher than we normally were, in addition to bringing on several different other contracts, including individuals who used to attend senior sites for lunch and socialization. We now deliver to them in their homes. And in addition to some of the other immunosuppressed disease, individuals who usually were feeling comfortable about being out in the world and everything, who quarantined themselves, stayed at home, utilized our services for meals to be brought to their home.
Yeah, when we think about all of those seniors who were active and going out and participating in social groups and social clubs, but now they were forced to be homebound, really, like
right.
so many of us were, that were relying on you and you really kicked it into higher. You said 37% that you were up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that really changes kind of the whole operations of your organization.
It truly did. And just for fun, during the whole pandemic, we hired a new director of food service. just to, you know, make
just,
things
yeah,
more interesting.
One layer, another layer of added stress.
Right, exactly. You know, and we started doing things that were things that were in our strategic plan to do. But, you know, this pandemic really forced us to move forward. Things like offering frozen meals for clients, expanding on our weekend meals. So clients can now get meals 7 days a week. A lot of the things that we just tried to make ourselves as agile and responsive as possible to the consistently changing environment and to be something of a consistent source for individuals for food. We had individuals who were quarantined who had no other way to get food. You know, they might not have that social support. We did a program with the continuum of care for homeless individuals that had contracted COVID and then were being, you know, treated and had nowhere to go or no food to go home. Because even once you're released from the hospital after the virus, that recovery period varies for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we just continually adapted how we made things in the kitchen, the way we were doing things. And so for us, it has been a year of consistent change and adaptation.
Yeah. And so do you think that those are protocols that you will keep in place? Have they helped your organization run more efficiently? Or do you think you're kind of going to go back to some kind of new normal once?
Yeah. You know, we don't even talk about going back anymore. Mm-hmm. We just know things have changed. And so we just look at it now as, so how will we change in the future to accommodate things? We utilize a no-touch delivery system right now, which does allow us to keep both the client and our delivery personnel safe. There's a possibility that that could go back to where we could actually maybe see a client more face-to-face than mm-hmm. from a, you know, 8-foot to 10-foot distance. But like we instituted phone pal program where we have volunteers that will call individuals in their home and just simply chat. And that has been huge. That's a huge social connection. And so that obviously will continue. Some of the things that we're doing in the kitchen, keeping the frozen meal, keeping how we're preparing food and, you know, those process flows and workflows, I think a lot of that we're going to keep. So, yeah, I guess the innovation and the push to do some different things have actually changed. And yeah, we just look at a new way of moving forward versus trying to think even remotely of going back.
Yeah. Well, and it has forced a lot of innovation, and it sounds like some new partnerships as
mm-hmm.
well. You mentioned
Absolutely.
Continuum of Care. So have there been other partnerships that have formed out of this?
Absolutely. I think one of the things we most enjoyed was the such partnership, the reaching out, the working together with other nonprofits. We really just all experienced this. Okay, so how can we work together best to make it through and do what's best for everybody involved? The Salvation Army, we worked a lot with the Salvation Army. When this first happened, the casinos reached out to us, and all of us who work within the food arena in the nonprofit world, we all kind of like, okay, well, I can't use, you know, this donation from, you know, this casino, but I think so-and-so can. And so, you know, let me give you their number. And if you don't hear from them, let me know. And so we partnered a lot in that way. And it's like, okay, so you're really good at this. So how can you do this? And, you know, the food bank gave us space to store some of our shelf-stable meals so that if something did happen, we were completely prepared for our clients to never have to go without a meal. And so just it was just what I always think of as the region is mm-hmm. generous, working together, making sure that we're taking care of everybody, very partnering, very neighborly thing. It really proved true for us. And so I hope other I hope other nonprofits feel the same as us, that it was, you know, a good time to partner and that they were successful and they had a good, you know, a good response partnering and that it was a good experience for them. We definitely enjoyed it.
One of the better things to come out of the pandemic, I think, is how people have worked together, found new ways to stay in contact with each other and to combat social isolation, even when we had to be distanced. And you had mentioned, you know, even with your delivery drivers, you know, not only are they dropping off a meal, but they're also doing wellness checks and and that they are sometimes the only point of contact or person that someone may see when they're in their home.
Right. So our homebound clients, that's always been true. And now, you know, just some of our other clients, we're experiencing that as well. And, you know, I will say that our volunteers, we had some volunteers who are older that chose to, you know, kind of step back from volunteering for health reasons. You know, they wanted to stay safe and wanted to, you know, keep at home themselves. And we had other people who stepped up to fill that void for a number of reasons. And one of them was they were just, you know, now they might be working at home. So they had time to do something in the middle of the day, and they needed that time to get out of the house, to do something, to feel like they were connected to their community, that they were helping the community get through this pandemic. And so that was really refreshing to see. Mm-hmm. You know, you always hear kindness matters, and we were really fortunate to see some of that step up. Our client service department, the individuals who work in our client service are just amazing. I will say once they're there, they are on the phone nonstop. Everything from clients calling in because you know they're just lonely, to thanking us because they didn't know what they were going to do. They're so thankful for being able to have us there. And, you know, our client services will always call back and check. If somebody says they weren't feeling good, they'll call them back in a couple of days and go, how are you feeling now? And, you know, is there anything we can do? And so they really stepped up their game in helping individuals not feel isolated, as I'm sure all of us felt at some point.
Mm-hmm. And so the vaccine, really, adults over the age of 75 were the first group to start being able to receive it. And I would imagine many of your clients, I know now you said you've expanded to serve children and other groups. But have you seen more of your clients getting the vaccine? Are they talking about it? Have they shared anything with maybe the delivery drivers who are dropping off meals about what their thoughts are?
Sure. Actually, yeah. And because we do so much interaction with our clients currently, there's two frames of thought. We have the clients who are just super excited to get it, wanted to get it, you know, were calling as soon as they heard it was available and asking us, you know, where can we get it? How can we get it? And then we have those who are, you know, impacted by some of the myths of a vaccine or fear or those kind of things. It's really the two. So they were either excited or they were afraid. And we were happy that even the ones who were timid or afraid of it were willing to at least reach out and talk or say something to their drivers or something so that we can offer some kind of assistance or, you know, share with them some knowledge. It's always still their decision, of course, but, you know, sometimes if you are able to share facts with someone, it really helps alleviate the fear.
And for those who want to get it, but, you know, as a homebound individual, are they wondering, how do I get to the vaccine? Or are you hearing some of the barriers they're facing?
Sure. Living in Northwest Indiana, we all know transportation is, that's a tough point for a lot of individuals, especially if they're homebound. There have been organizations, which has been great, that have stepped up and are doing in-home vaccinations. And so once we found these groups and had that information, we're sharing it with our clients. A lot of working through the process. sometimes calling 211 can be daunting. It's a several-step process. We have some individuals who really aren't that comfortable online, so registering online was difficult for them. So we found local places they could call and talk to somebody, or somebody who would help them, a family member maybe who didn't realize, that an older adult in their family was struggling trying to figure out how they were going to get the vaccine. Somebody who could help them through that. And just, again, some of the myths and misconceptions helping share that. But that's a lot of the barriers, not knowing. And I don't know the answer of how you do clear communication that absolutely everyone understands on every single level and make it easy for absolutely everyone. I think actually our state has done a fabulous job about rolling it out. Mm-hmm. But an older person who's living alone and doesn't drive, there's a lot of things that need to happen for them in order for this, especially if they're doing the two-part, and older people tend to be a little prideful, if you will. It's hard to ask somebody to drive you somewhere and help you out once, let alone now you got to go back in 21 days and get that second shot. So
yeah, so even if there's not an external barrier, sometimes it's an internal one of even asking for
exactly.
the help that you need.
Exactly. So all we can do is keep sharing the information and hope that we reach anyone and help anyone that would like to know more about the vaccine, if that's what they want to do.
And they clearly see you as a resource, and it's good that, you're providing information accurate. You're an accurate and trusted source of information for the people that you serve.
Yeah, we hope people see us that way. We try to be.
Is there anything that you have coming up or that you'd like to share about Meals on Wheels?
Well, as always, we are a partial private non-payment or a nonprofit, so we're always raising funds. Would like to give a shout out to Strack and Mantle for allowing us to be a part of their Roundup campaign again, and that will start coming up here the next Sunday, March 26th. Through Easter. So we're very excited about that. So anytime you can get to Strack and Van Til's and Roundup for any of the wonderful organizations that they support, it's a good thing. We also have coming up towards the end of April, the 18th through the 24th, what we're doing this year instead of our big gala event. We're doing a region restaurant week where you can buy tickets for different restaurants in the region, and some of the proceeds come to us and some of it goes to that restaurant. So we're making sure that we're supporting the small businesses in the area too. And all that can be found on our website at mownwi.org.
Good. And it sounds like a great way to help restaurants, which have also been struggling during the pandemic, and to support your organization. So
yeah.
I will definitely check that out. And you said it's mownwi.org.
Yes. Right,
where they can find that information.
Yep.
Thank you for joining me, Jody.
Thank you, Erica.
And thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can visit OurShot219.com for information about local COVID-19 resources in Northwest Indiana. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.